Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Simone Rios.
Daryl Murphy.
Good day, sir. How you doing?
Good to be here, man. From my closet to your closet.
Yeah. Well, you have been so kind to bless us with your presence today, because you've been doing some reporting on the Chinatown Community Land Trust. But before we get into that story, I want you to give us some historical context about the housing situation in Boston's Chinatown.
Yeah. So I think that going back decades, housing has become increasingly difficult in Chinatown. I mean, going back to the days of urban renewal, when, you know, they put the Mass Pike through Chinatown practically and eradicated a bunch of the housing that was there. Mm-hmm. And then the forces of the market, when rent control was lifted in the 90s, cost of housing has gone up and up and up. And it's caused people to look for alternative models to build affordable housing, not owned by the government, but owned and operated by the community. And that's where you have this phenomenon known as a community land trust.
Okay, so tell us about the Chinatown Community Land Trust. How did it get started?
I did a story a few years ago about them coming up with this idea. They formed in 2015. And the idea of a community land trust is that the trust, which is, you know, a nonprofit, owns the land sort of in perpetuity, and they determine what is done with that land. Mm-hmm. So when I did my original story, the Chinatown Community Land Trust had tried to buy this property, 29 Oak Street. They were outbid by, I think, $300,000 or $400,000 by an Airbnb investor. Mm-hmm. So they lost their bid on this property, which was very disappointing, because they needed a test case to show that this community land trust model could work, that they could buy land even in this crazy housing market.
Right.
But then the city passed a short-term rental ordinance. Mm. That was a game changer, because it meant that all these people who were buying up properties to use them just as Airbnbs, all of a sudden, they couldn't do that, because under the current rules in Boston, you actually have to live in the building if you're going to use it as an Airbnb. So the person who had bought the property at 29 Oak Street all of a sudden wanted out. And so he put the building back on the market for $300,000 more. He eventually got $300,000 more than he paid for it just a couple years ago. And the Chinatown Community Land Trust now owns this property, with three condos owned by first-time homebuyers, and the trust owns the land underneath the building.
Okay, so tell me about these condos.
So there's this two block area. This is Oak Street and Johnny Court, but they're these two very small city blocks that are populated by these old kind of tenements, like things that you would have thought existed going back, you know, well into the previous century. Anyway, the Chinatown CLT ends up paying $1.7 million for one of these little buildings. Mm-hmm. But their purpose was to sell it to people who were first-time home buyers, who qualified in terms of their income. Mm-hmm. What they ended up doing was holding a lottery where more than 600 people applied. I talked to one of the current owners. He was number 112 in the lottery. So he was like, you know, fat chance, I'm not going to get in. But they went down the list, and whoever met the requirements for income, again, first-time home buyer, they had to qualify for a loan, of course. And this gentleman was selected. His name is Eddie Hickey. Let's listen to how he feels about living in one of these places.
The joke at work, I was like, I won a lottery. Not the lottery, but a lottery. And it's pretty cool, yeah.
It's a literal lottery as well as a figurative lottery in the sense like he hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
Because he lives in a studio condo, you know, it's less than 1,000 square feet, but he paid $167,000 for it. Mm. It was assessed at $500,000. Mm. If not for this community land trust, he wouldn't be able to afford to buy a condo in downtown Boston. Now, I will say there is a slight trade-off, just real quick, where the price that he can sell it for, if and when he decides to sell, is limited. So it can only increase from the $167,000 that he paid for it, that number can only go up 3% annually, plus an additional 1% for any improvements that he makes.
Okay, see, I was just about to ask you about that. Because typically people like to buy their homes, you know, because it's kind of it's a wealth generator.
Exactly. Look, I think the philosophy of the community land trust is they're taking the wealth accumulation aspect out of it, like both in terms of removing these properties from the speculative market, but also in terms of, you know, being a wealth builder in the sort of American sense of home ownership that we're taught throughout our lives that it's all about buying a home.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to make a fortune on that, but he's paying so little money towards his mortgage compared to pretty much everybody else who has a mortgage, that frees him up financially to invest in other areas, you know, so he can put it into the stock market or do whatever else he wants with that additional money.
I want to ask, does a program like this challenge the way we should be thinking about buying a house? You know, is it more important to have available housing
mm-hmm.
than it is to buy a house and sit on it in hopes of it increasing in value, you know? I feel like there's a larger community philosophy here.
Exactly. And if you talk to people who were involved in the beginning of the community land trust movement, that was exactly it. They saw that land speculation was creating such an impediment to the construction of not even subsidized affordable housing, but housing affordable to ordinary people, that they said, we have to figure out a way to prevent the price of land from increasing so much. That's all we hear about in Boston.
Yes.
That, you know, among many factors, the cost of labor and the cost of everything else is the cost of land and the lack of availability of land.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a rethinking of the way we approach housing in so many ways.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more on the Chinatown Community Land Trust.
Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered. But we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere, and no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed. 19 Days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Do we have other community land trusts in the city or in the state? And what do those look like?
Yeah, we do. Across Massachusetts, I believe the count is 16 community land trusts. And the biggest example is right here in Roxbury. The Dudley Street Neighborhood Initiative is a community land trust that formed back in the late 80s when parts of Roxbury were literally burning, you know, vacant properties, derelict landowners, blighted lots. The city took ownership of dozens of properties through eminent domain, awarded them to the community land trust. I don't know the full number of properties that were awarded in this way, but DSNI, Dudley Street Neighborhood Initiative, ended up acquiring a portfolio of over 230 housing units. Some of those are rental and some of them are for home ownership, and they're still building too. So yeah, there's, I think, seven in Greater Boston. So this is including Chelsea. There's seven community land trusts. The one in Chelsea doesn't have any property yet. Mm. The one in Chinatown, they own two properties and they're working on acquiring the third. And then in 2019, the Boston Neighborhood Community Land Trust formed. This was previously an organization that came out of the foreclosure crisis. Mm-hmm. They were trying to help people prevent foreclosure, and they ended up with several properties under the nonprofit. And they decided that a community land trust model would be the best way to continue this work. And so just over the last 3 years, they've accumulated 30 units of rental housing. And actually, I spoke to the executive director of the organization, Meredith Levy, and she said, while it may be difficult to scale up this model because of the cost of land and housing in Boston, it really matters to the communities and especially to the people who live in this housing.
The reason that I think community land trust model is particularly strong is because it really focuses on the people who live there. That's important. So you're flipping it. So people really have a sense of agency that this is their property. Whether they're owners or renters, it's still the sense of collective ownership. They get to be in charge of what happens.
And so, Simone, I want to bring it back to Chinatown. What does the future look like for the Chinatown Community Land Trust?
Because the market is so difficult right now, it's hard to imagine them getting much bigger. But there is another property there in the final stages of acquiring, so that should come online soon. And then there's another property that they're looking at, which could be their fourth. Talking to Lydia Lowe, who's the head of the Chinatown Land Trust, her sense is that things are getting better from a certain perspective in terms of, you know, inflation, the economy, interest rates, which definitely aren't helping all aspects of the housing market. But she thinks that it's going to provide more opportunity for the land trust to be able to acquire properties in Chinatown.
It's been really crazy trying to acquire other properties in this last few years. But I think that, you know, with the higher interest rates and the economic situation, we may be entering a period where there's going to be less of that competition.
Well, Simone, as always, this has been a pleasure.
Yes, man. Thanks for having me, Daryl.
Yeah, you know, I'm really thinking about the land trusts, what they do, and what it means to have housing. What is the true purpose of housing? I'm thinking about that now. So
it's true. It's true. I even think about, I'm a homeowner, and I think about, well, what do I do when I sell my house?
Mm-hmm.
It's the presumption is that you want to make as much money as humanly possible.
Right.
As has always been the case.
Right.
But, you know, there's other ways to go about it. You talk to the people in the land trust, and they're asking homeowners to consider them. And I think some people are doing it, actually. Some, you know, conscientious community members, homeowners, instead of just selling to the highest bidder, they're planning on donating their properties to community land trusts. So
that's beautiful.
There are other ways to think about this crazy housing market.
For real. For real. Well, Simone, thanks so much for coming through.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, Daryl.
That's WBUR reporter Simone Rios. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. Make sure you hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.